Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shia dignitaries, scholars, and ulama all across the world of Islam. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers, Sheikh Mahdavi from the Islamic Seminary of Qom and Dr. Fakhwani from the University of Qom. Dr. Fakhwani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Very welcome to the program, The Teacher, and Sheikh Mahdavi. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about an outstanding figure who had a really outstanding work regarding Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He is no one but Mirza Abu al-Mawli Kalbasi, the outstanding faqih, Shiite faqih, mainly from the house of Isfahan and the city of Isfahan. He was also buried in the city of Isfahan. And he's the author of the book, or it's better to say, a treatise on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam with the topic and with the title Al-Istishfa'u bit-Turbat al-Sharifat al-Husayniyah, which is really an interesting topic. We'll talk about it. Before getting to his book, let's be a little bit concerned with his life, Mirza Abu al-Mawli Kalbasi. Sheikh Mahdavi, give us some details, please.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mirza Abu al-Mawli Kalbasi Isfahani is one of the great and outstanding ulama, although anonymous to most of the listeners and audience. Maybe we ourselves didn't hear his name much, but he is regarded as one of the great and outstanding ulama of the seminary of Isfahan. Almost for 40 years he was teaching over there, and above 80 treatises has been published in different fields of study, mainly in fiqh, usul, rijal, and also having shuruh and commentary on the main ad'iyah and ziyarat, namely ziyarat Ashura, ziyarat Jami Kabira. For our audiences to get to know about him more, we have to say that he is born in 1247, according to lunar calendar, almost 200 years ago in Isfahan. And for them to know about his position in the eyes of the ulama, I think all of them, they are familiar with the great personality of Ayatollah Burujerdi.
Yes.
In Iran, before the revolution, who passed away around 1340, according to his solar calendar. Ayatollah Burujerdi is saying that the meetings or the sessions in which he was delivering durus or dars or lessons. Actually, he is quoting Mirza Kalbasi.
Yes.
He is saying that his sessions are equal or like the sessions of Peyambar or the Prophet.
Okay.
Because of the spirituality that you can feel and experience when you sit at his presence. So it shows his great position. Although we have not heard about him and his personality and his works much, it shows that this is the shortcoming from our not from his personality, and how he was really sincere, not looking after fame and making fame after out of his works and his things. One of the great works today we are going to talk about shows that besides having such a knowledge, great knowledge in terms of usul and fiqh, he dedicates his life to talk about one of the critical and challenging issues regarding the topic of the Karbala, which is al-istishfa bit-turbat al-husayniyah. Inshallah, today we are going to talk about it more and more.
Just look at the names of the students. You said Ayatollah Burujerdi, Agha Ziya Araghi, Muhammad Hussein Garavi Naini, Hasan Ali Khodaki Isfahani, Rahim Arbab, Sayyid Mahmoud Marashi Najafi, the father of Ayatollah Sayyid Shahabuddin Marashi Najafi, Murtaza Taleghani and so many other, you know, outstanding students say that spiritually speaking, I mean, and ethically speaking, it was really high. And that's why we can see so many students from different fields of study benefited from his presence. Dr. Fakhrani, when we talk about Mirza Abul Mawli Kalbasi and when we get to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, this book, Al-Istishbab al-Turbat al-Husayniya, we can say, or the complete title is Al-Istishbab al-Turbat al-Sharifat al-Husayniya, comes to the scene. Literally, we can translate it as being healed by the Torba of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Before getting to this book and we can say his discussions and his elaboration on this topic, talk a little bit about the topic itself. I mean, Turbat al-Husayniya, what is the significance of Turbat al-Husayniya and why so much emphasis has been put on the soil of Karbala, especially of the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the beginning, it must be indicated that the case of the soil of Imam al-Hussein's burial place, mm-hmm. that is his tomb, is really an exception in the whole world.
Yes.
It's an exception in the whole world in terms of its healing powers. We find that those people who are really practicing and believing pious Muslims and Shiis usually yearn to spend at least some moments,
yes,
by the burial place of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Yes.
And in authentic and authoritative hadiths in Islamic literature, we find that it's strictly forbidden to eat, I mean to have, soil. Nobody is permitted to do so. However, there's one exception in the whole world, and that is the soil taken from the burial place of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
And it is not for the use of, for example, nutrition.
This is for the sake of, I mean, its healing power.
Yes.
Provided that the person who uses it, okay, yes, believes in it. Because, I mean,
okay,
it wouldn't benefit, I mean, those people who don't believe in Imam al-Hussein, mm-hmm, alayhi salam. Or it may not benefit those people who might disrespect it, okay? Rather, for example, in our homes, when we keep Turbat al-Hussein, we are very much careful, okay,
yes,
to keep it, okay, in a safe and secure place and treat it very, I mean, respectfully. And at the same time, it must be indicated that the soil of Imam al-Hussein's burial place,
yes,
has some protective value because,
yes,
for example, in the conduct of the 8th infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam, when he wanted to, I mean, to guarantee a safe journey for a close companion, Imam Reza alayhi salam used to give the person, the traveler, just a little, I mean, amount of the soil of Imam al-Hussein's burial place.
That's right.
And it was, I mean,
okay,
I mean, it guaranteed everything.
It's better to say that the body, the, yes, holy body of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, which is buried over there, has affected the soil in which he's buried.
Yes.
And because of his divine character and the divinity and the light, we can say the soil is also influenced over there. And this made the soil to be of
blessed,
influence.
Especially blessed.
And especially blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people who are after, for example, healing or the barakah of the soil. So if the body of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is blessed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, its holiness can be transferred to the soul too.
Yes, let me say something.
Okay.
In the book Kamil al-Ziyarat, there's a piece, mm-hmm, of hadith,
yes,
from the 6th infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. In it, he said in this way, موضع غبر الحسين منذ يوم دفن في روضة من رياض الجنة. The burial place of Imam al-Hussein, as I'm seeing, said the day he was buried over there, has turned into a paradise garden,
mm-hmm,
or a garden among the paradise gardens. Okay,
yes.
It indicates that the place has been specially blessed, not consecrated,
yes,
but specially blessed,
yes,
because of the sacred body of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Yes. Also in Ziyarat al-Nahiyat al-Muqaddasa by Imam Mahdi, we have,
yes,
O Hussein, peace be upon you, whose soil of tomb is the healing.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes,
this
has
is really
the healing power.
Yes,
yes,
has a healing power. Okay, Sheikh Matavi, let's get to you, brother. Maybe we can say this is intangible for some of our dear listeners what is still you are talking about the healing power of a piece of soil. Can you give us some other, for example, details regarding this topic that was compiled by Mirza Abul Mawli Kalbasi in a book, you know, in a separate book, and it's really outstanding.
Regarding the point that you mentioned, that it might seem strange to our listeners how a yota of soil could have a kind of healing power, I think this is very good for them to know that healing power is something which is going to be granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what is that substance or item, no matter if it is a piece of fabric, I mean the clothes of Prophet Yusuf, which is going to heal the eyesight of his father.
Yeah, this is mentioned in the Quran.
Yes.
Yes.
Or it is going to be put in a piece of wood, which is a tabut, actually the cradle of Prophet Musa. As we see, its power has been mentioned in the Quran, how it's going to bring tranquility for the Bani Israel. So we see such powers could be given or could be put into whatsoever item that Allah wishes. So a yota of a soil or a piece of a soil could be taken as that item as well. That's why we see in the narrations of the Imams that thing has been mentioned, that this healing power has been put in the soil of the grave or the area around the grave of Imam Hussein. That this is actually one of the subtopics that Allama Kalbasi is going to talk about in his book. Right. When we go to the content, to the table of the content, we see one of the things he talks about after giving some points regarding the ban of taking clay or soil. And then he talks about the area in which if you take that soil, it is going to be regarded the healing soil. Because we know that place that Imam Hussein has been buried is not the same place today people are going for the pilgrimage. It is actually regarded almost 10 meters below.
Is it, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, the place that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the exact grave site, is very much lower than the chamber people are visiting, is it?
Yes.
How meter is it? I mean, how long? 10 meters? 20 meters?
Yes, around 10 meters.
10
I
meters
had, yes.
lower, okay?
Yes.
And that is the exact burial place of Imam
Hussein
Hazrat
Ali
al-Akbar, okay?
Yes.
And the people are not allowed to visit over there?
No. Never.
Okay.
Only special people for on certain missions. They are directed there.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's why he's talking about this topic, that which place is regarded Harim al-Qabr, or the place in which if you take a dust from, that's going to be healing, or it will have that healing power. And then he talks about the conditions that must be met in order to get that healing power, and then Sharaat al-Istishfa and the rest. I mean, the rest of the topics that he's going to talk about, and even different functions of this torba that have been narrated or have been mentioned in the narrations and sayings of the Imam. It is not only for the sick to get and then get cured. Even they are saying that the moment of the delivering the child, the first thing he has to take is part of the torba. The moment of burial, when they are going to put the dead corpse of the person into the grave. All those detailed points that today we are not going to talk about. Okay. So that is a kind of comprehensive book regarding the healing power of the soil of Imam Hussein, actually the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and its different functions besides that.
One of which is, for example, the torba that the Shias, for example, put on the foreheads when doing salat, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
As a sample, of course, this torba might not be the original one, but this is we can say, the sign of respect for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and showing that when your forehead on the dust, you are submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the total respect and being as a true servant. Okay, Dr. Fakhwani, anything missed about the torba of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? Any story, any important event, or any, for example, because really this is an interesting topic. usually the public ask about, for example, the sharaid, the conditions in which the torba might be consumed, or what are the etiquettes, in fact, how to respect this torba?
Yes, it must be indicated that in Shia Husseini literature, there are some conditions for the use of Turbat al-Hussein, the soil of Imam al-Hussein's burial place. However, and in addition to what's already been covered here, I should like to point out to something else. In India, I mean, to my experience in India, there are some places in some cities in India which are called Karbala. For example, there's a place in New Delhi which is called Karbala. Also, the same Karbala can be found in Hyderabad.
Okay. And what is it?
But yes, what's the significance?
Okay? Yes.
Pious Muslims and pious Shias, and some of them, for example, in the case of New Delhi, I heard that the man who gave his personal piece of land to a place to be called Karbala was an Indian. I mean, was a Hindu.
Yes.
And when he found out that his son was going to die because of an unknown illness or perhaps cancer, someone suggested him to make use of just a small iota of, Turbat al-Hussein. And his son, was healed, was recovered. In effect of this, this Hindu became Shia and devoted a large piece of land of his property to Karbala Ali Ganj. But, and he himself changed his name from a Hindu name into Ali.
Okay.
And the place is known as Karbala Ali Ganj.
Okay.
Ali Ganj Karbala.
Yes, very good.
But moreover, in order to add blessing to the same piece of land, he imported just some small pieces of soil from Karbala and spread the dust of Karbala over the whole region. The same was done in Hyderabad.
Okay? Really beautiful.
So we find that places in not located in Shia heartlands, some pieces of lands carry the name Karbala because of having received some soils from Karbala.
And they are blessed.
Yes, they're blessed. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
But a Shia child is born, we can't say his mouth is blessed with the soil of Karbala, the land is blessed.
Yes.
That's all right. The tasbih, the rosaries are blessed, with the soil of Karbala. And we say this is not simple. It needs a believer. It needs, for example, some different conditions to consume and to be effective. Really, really interesting topic. We can't say which was tackled by Mirza Abul Mawaliyah Kalbasi in his book Al Istishwa. But Turbat al-Sharifat al-Husayniya, really outstanding work. Thank you much, Dr. Fakhwani.
Welcome.
And Sheikh Mahdavi for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you. About Sheikh Mirza Abul Mawliya Kalbasi, Safar 27th, 1315, he passed away at the age of 67 in the city of Isfahan, and he was buried, we can say, around the Takht-e-Fulat Cemetery, which is the burial place of so many outstanding Muslim scholars in the city of Isfahan. And today, Takiyeh Kalbasi, which is the burial place of so many members of this family, is over there with the domes, with the brick domes over there in the Takht-e-Fulat Cemetery in the city of Isfahan. May Allah bless the soul of Mirza Abul Mawliya Kalbasi, the author of Al-Istishfa wa Turbat al-Sharifat al-Husayniya. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Khan of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi aman Allah. Allah.